We are thrilled to be here. We came a long way just to see Milton and you guys. We started out in Fresno yesterday and made our way through Arizona and then to Dallas and then to here. And I went to bed and it was completely dark. It was a little bit after midnight when we pulled in. And to wake up and open the curtains and see this beautiful community that you live in. You are not living so much, I don't think, in a wilderness as a paradise, which makes it a great place to be able to speak about this gospel and remind all of us that all paths to Jerusalem, let me say that again, all paths to Jerusalem start in the wilderness. If you want to get to Jerusalem, remember that the Spirit first calls you into the wilderness. It's that place I think that we're afraid to go. But the scriptures begin this morning by reminding us a wandering Armenian was our ancestor. We've been wandering in the wilderness since the beginning. We have gone there even though we are afraid because we know that is where the Spirit dwells, that is part of our lives. It's where we go to remember what the truth of our life is. It's where we go when we pray, not what we believe, but what we hope to believe. Dear Lord, help us, is the prayer of the wilderness. Dear Lord, be with me as I find myself again. I'm a part of a community that's all about wilderness, Thistle Farms. It began about 20 years ago, and we said we want to open the place to women who are survivors of trafficking, addiction, and prostitution, and offer a sanctuary from those wildernesses that are under bridges, those wildernesses that are inside prison walls, those wildernesses that live on the short side of justice, those wildernesses that live on the backside of someone's hand in anger. Those wildernesses, and all those deep and fearful and shameful wildernesses that live within us. And we said, we just want to be a place where you can come and find healing and hope and be a witness to the truth that in the end, love is the most powerful force for change. And the women came and the women stayed and we built a few more houses. And then we opened up a social enterprise about 2001, about 15 years ago, because the women who were still in the wilderness of poverty, even in their amazing ability to forgive and to love, the violence of poverty was still such a part of their lives. And over the years, the community has grown together. We've become the largest social enterprise in the U.S. run by survivors. We brought all our products and all our wares here for you this morning. It's how we keep going. We helped start 22 sister communities around the U.S. where the Episcopal Church is truly taking the lead in a housing first model for survivors. We have 19 global partners now. You'll see all that stuff and we'll tell you all about it at the Sunday school. But one of the biggest gifts we get to do is come and remind people that the wilderness is not the end of the journey. It's part of the grounding of all of us so we can hope together. The Gospels through this season of Lent don't end in the wilderness. It doesn't jump from the wilderness, then all of a sudden they make their entry into Jerusalem. No, it's there where we prepare our hearts to make the journey. Next week you're going to hear from Luke 5, where the coldest words in all of Scripture are written. I never knew you, Jesus says. I never knew you. And it was for people who never wanted to enter on the call and on the path and make their way into the wilderness and hone their hearts, and at some point it's too late. And then they take us through Luke 13, where there's a withered fig tree. And they just want to cut it down and be done with it. Jesus says, give it more time. When we struggle and it's hard, give it more time. Keep feeding it. Keep working on it. Keep being a part of it. And then, Luke 15, the prodigal son, while we're still a long way off in the wilderness, we are called home and drawn to hope. That's the journey we get to talk about when we're on the road. That it doesn't end there. That communities can hope together. We don't have to leave people behind in the wilderness. We can be the angels that tend. We can be the path out. The whole point of a wilderness is you can't find your way out. If you think you're going into the woods and you know exactly where your car is, that's not the wilderness. That's a hike. We need a community to help us find our way out. One of the women here with us today is a woman named Anika, who's part of the marketing and sales team. She'll tell you a little bit about her story, but she was basically born into the foster care system in Detroit, and her earliest memories are abuse. As a runaway, finding her way into what she calls the deepest wilderness, where people are treated like animals. In the community, she found her way home, and she goes and she speaks and she talks to say that while we still have 100 women on the waiting list, while there are still women dying in the wilderness to come home, there is hope, and women do recover. As a homeowner and reconciled with her children, she speaks with some authority. The first trip she went on with me was to the wilderness of the Tetons. We were invited by St. John's Episcopal Church to come. One of my favorite pictures of her is the first time she's looking at a buffalo. She's laughing so hard, her head is thrown back at both the magnificence and wonder of the wilderness. And like Episcopalians, you know what we like to do is we like to go to the wilderness and build a really nice place near it. They had a beautiful reception for us at the foot of the Tetons. And Anika stood with the Tetons as her backdrop to speak her truth. And at first I wondered how everybody was going to take it. It seemed like such an amazingly beautiful and posh setting. And then I remembered that she was speaking a truth that's probably as old as the hills. As old as the wandering Armenians, that we are broken, that all of us need to go back to the wilderness again and remember our part in the suffering and in the brokenness and change again so we can love the world more. She had a right to be in those mountains and to speak that truth to us. The wilderness is where we go to remember. To remember all the joy and all the ways that we can come out together ready to love the world. Before we left last Thursday from Nashville, Tennessee, we sat in our usual daily circle at Thistle Farms. So Thistle Farms is the manufacturing part of the community. It's the manufacturing part of this movement for women's freedom. And every day we start and we light a candle. That's how we start every day, to remember the women who are still in the wilderness, who are wandering the streets. To remember that it takes a single candle to light a path through the dark, and maybe a single candle can help a woman find her way home. This day, there was a brand new woman in the circle. Right before we left, my first time to meet her, less than 24 hours in the community. The circle now has about 75 people in it, gathering and praying and lighting a candle. And when I saw her, I thought, you have no idea. You have no idea how many thousands of candles we have lit waiting for your arrival. Praying that you find your way out of this wilderness. You have no idea how many people love you already and want to help you find yourself again. She sat in the circle, and all she did was weep. She didn't say a word. In that profound place where you think you might die, and all of a sudden you remember there's a community that loves you, that doesn't ask what's wrong with you, but asks you what happened to you on that journey. And how can we be a part of helping you find your way to Jerusalem? All we can do is weep in gratitude. We all weep for the mercy we have known in those places in us. We all weep at the promise of coming home. We are on a Lenten journey. We can make it together to find that place where someone has lit a candle for us and says, "Welcome home."